ShareCare, helping you get younger, get guidance, get better care, get smart, get fit. Radio MD presents ShareCare Radio with Daria Long Gillespie, MD.
Our next segment is our weekly ShareCare Healthmakers interview. The ShareCare Healthmakers series brings together the best minds in medicine, wellness, science, and technology to provide candid, thought-provoking insight into their respective fields. They also share their visions and concerns, from the future of healthcare to using technology to manage an aging population to how diet and exercise can alter our genes. Today we're listening to Dr. James Fowler, a professor of medical genetics and political science at the University of California, San Diego. He co-authored the book Connected, The Surprising Power of Our Social Networks and How They Shape Our Lives. Fowler also published a study last year in PLOS ONE that validated ShareCare's scientifically-based health risk assessment, the Real Age Test. In this segment, Dr. Fowler will explain how your friends and social network influence your health and how big data can help improve healthcare.
You have to start out with where we came from. As a species, we're extremely different from other species, even other social species like honeybees and other primates. We interact with other people that we're not related to and that are not our mates. We interact with strangers all the time, every day, and we pay attention to them. Their behavior is extremely contagious. There's a wide variety of studies that I've done with my colleague Nicholas Christakis that show that how much we weigh, how much we drink, how much we smoke, how happy we feel, a wide variety of really important outcomes spread from person to person to person in networks. And so I think really any fundamental understanding of human health has to start with an understanding that we are all connected. One of the things that Nicholas and I talked about in our book Connected is the telephone. And it's really interesting, if you go back to the initial adoption of the telephone, you had all of the same issues that came up with people worried about privacy, with people talking about how this is going to completely change society, we're going to be completely different people. And what we discovered over, you know, decades was that it was a useful tool, but fundamentally we were still the same human beings we always were. And so one of the things I always tell people is that we still have the same brains we had before Facebook. In fact, we have the same brains that we had about 100,000 years ago, more or less. And so one of the things that we've done is we've tried to push back further and further in time a comparison between the way we are now and the way we used to be. So Nicholas Christakis and I, we did a study on this group of hunter-gatherers in northern Tanzania called the Hadza. And we actually had a photographic census of about 1,000 of the people in this group, and we showed these pictures to them and we asked them to tell us who are your friends so that we could map their social networks. And their social networks, then we compared to modernized social networks. We found that they were almost exactly alike. We are making friends now in modernized society the same way that hunter-gatherers, who probably lived the way all of our ancestors did 100,000 years ago, make friends. So this is not new. This is a fundamental part of what it means to be human. And this is one of the reasons why I think the technology has taken off. It's just grown like wildfire. Because for the first time, what's happening is what's going on online is tapping into this deep fundamental desire to connect. There are lots of laboratory studies that show that we unconsciously imitate the behavior of people who are near us. And so just for example, if I bring you into a room and I sit you next to someone who's eating more than the room next door where someone is eating less, you'll eat more. If I just randomly put you next to a stranger, you'll eat more. There's a big literature on mindless eating. So that's one thing that we know is that just unconsciously we tend to imitate the actions of those around us. But with strong social behavior that's spreading across hundreds of miles, that can't be the only explanation, because you're not seeing your friend eat all the time. So we really think that this is about our ideas, our norms, what we think of as appropriate behavior. And one thing that economists have found is that we actually have changed our idea of what is normal over the last 10 years. That's how much things have been changing, that we think normal now is a higher level. And so if your only goal is to get back to normal, you might not be, you know, going back as far, because now we think normal is at a much higher level. And so this is another thing that I think that spreads, but because it's an idea, it can spread over the telephone, it can spread over the internet, it can be the kind of thing that you transmit between you and your friend, you know, once or twice a year. Maybe you get together for Thanksgiving and you see how your friend's behaving, you hear about all the kinds of things they've been doing over the year, and that has a real impact on how you think about your own behavior. At the same time, I think it's a fundamental shift in our conceptualization of ourselves to realize that we also have that power. That we, when we make a change, are not only influencing the people that we know and love, but the people that they're connected to and the people that they're connected to. There are dozens and in some cases hundreds of people out there that are changing as a result of your changes. Every single day, everything you feel, think, and do, these things are rippling through the network. And for me, I don't know if this affects everybody. I actually would like to do a research study on this. But for me, my reaction to this was to actually lose 5 pounds and keep it off. Because for the first time, I realized I was not only making myself healthier, but also my son and my son's best friend, and maybe even my son's best friend's mother. All of these people that extend out in the network are impacted by everything they do. And that's why I think it's so important for us to study these outcomes, because eventually knowing that, I think, will allow us to take greater responsibility for our own outcomes. Both good and bad health are going to be socially contagious, unfortunately. And you know, one of the things that we see, for example, suicide can spread from one person to another. In fact, the CDC has written special regulations for the media in order to try to keep suicide from spreading. They try to avoid talking about it as a suicide because it glamorizes it, and people who are sort of thinking about doing it themselves, especially people who might have known the individual who killed themselves, are more likely to kill themselves. And you see evidence of, in some cases, you know, a dozen people or more actually committing suicide in these suicide cascades. Cutting behavior. So there are teenagers who will cut themselves, and unfortunately there are online sites where teenagers can talk about this, and there's some evidence that that also can spread from one person to another. And so all the good things that we might do, you know, getting to a normal weight, exercising, taking our medications, getting vaccinated, all those good things, we're actively studying how do we intervene in these networks? How do we find just exactly the right people to try to change their behavior in the network so that it creates these cascades, changing hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people? But we're also aware of the fact that the same thing can work in reverse. And so while we're also trying to change crucial people's behavior, we might also be trying to do prevention on crucial people to try to keep them from changing for the worse and to keep that cascade from happening in the first place. I think we're going to see a revolution in this decade in terms of how we use friends. We're going to be using friends' data to do risk prediction. We're going to do a much better job of figuring out who's at risk and who's not at risk for certain outcomes like weight gain or a heart attack, diabetes, by looking at the outcomes of a person's friends. And by having a much better ability to predict who's at risk, we'll be able to focus like a laser beam our resources on those individuals to try to get this you know, magnifying effect of networks. So friends' data is one thing that is going to be more utilized over the course of the next 10 years. We also have friends as motivators. So I think increasingly what you're going to see, for example, health coaching programs are going to be oriented towards getting friends and family involved. You might even see health coaches actively engaging, not just their clients, but their clients' social network in order to try and motivate and reinforce positive behavior change. We already know that coaching works, but I think we could probably make it much more effective by bringing friends in. And there's some experimental evidence that this is true, that people would diet together do better than people who diet alone, and close friends dieting together do better than acquaintances dieting together. This is work by Rainey Wing at Brown University. So I think you're going to see more of this online, utilizing these social connections to recommend people that you get involved whenever you're trying to make a positive a change. And then the thing that I think is the most important thing is just friends as multipliers. Realizing that there are some people who are highly influential, and so it pays to really get those individuals on board earlier and to invest more resources in them in order to try to change their behavior, because when you change them, you're not just changing them, you're changing in some cases dozens and hundreds of other people. And we're actively engaged in this. It's really difficult to bring together the online data in terms of health and the online data in terms of social. And so our early research has been in things outside of health, like in terms of voting. But in that early research, we're showing that, you know, a single message on Facebook can change the real behavior of hundreds of thousands of people. And I'm hopeful that just like we've been able to do this for voting, we're going to be able to do this for health.
That was Dr. James Fowler from ShareCare's Healthmakers Collection. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.